Hi, I'm Skating PJ, and this is Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast, where we're going to get up close and personal with members of our skating family who have a connection to Ontario. So, let's talk about it. Hi, everybody, at Skating PJ here, and I am thrilled to welcome not only a good friend, but an old student of mine, if you can believe it, Lisa Carrière, founder of the One Team Movement. We are going to talk synchro today. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, PJ. Nice to see you virtually.
I know. We've seen each other, but I think the last time I saw you, it was Calgary, and you may have been expecting baby number two, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Here we are. Not expecting, not in Calgary, but nevertheless. So let's talk about synchronized skating. So when you and I first met, you were a little kid skating in Mississauga, and I was teaching you. And what I know about you is that you were a very talented skater. What I don't remember at the time is if you were also skating synchronized skating at that time when you were a little kid. Were you?
I was, yeah. I started when I was 8. I think I probably met you when I was like 9 or 10, but I remember you were doing like a skating skill session for the club, and you're like, I don't know if you were coaching me yet, but you're like, oh, of course you're a synchro skater. You're so good at picking things up. Like, it was the choreography. You're like, ah, I love synchro skaters.
You know what? And that's entirely true. So you started us sort of like, nothing was really recreational at the time, because it was before that synchronized skating had been evolved into sort of what became festival and not festival and whatever. So were you with Streetsville Meadowvale?
I was with Mississauga, which was the recreational team.
Oh,
it was high community in Streetsville. It was competitive. Right. And then I was the recreational stream.
So here's what I want to know, you know, fast forward, very talented skater, you know, wonderful ice dancer, great artistic skater, and you had lots of talent and potential, and synchronized skating really drew you in. So let's talk about those early days, because you ultimately ended up on Nexus, a very competitive and probably the team in Canada that has had the most wins. I mean, we've had some great legacy teams in Canada, including Black Ice, including Les Suprêmes, who are outstanding. But talk to me a little bit about making that leap into hugely competitive synchronized skating.
So I guess I loved synchro. I love the team dynamic, the team aspect. What originally drew me in was just seeing it at my club. I was really, really lucky that there was a precision team back in the day.
Yep.
And after my Learn to Skate program, I would just stand there watching in complete awe, begging my mom to put me in it. So she did. I think at that point she was like, just keep Lisa busy. She'll stay out of trouble. I fell in love with precision. And I went like through all of my club levels, and then it got to the point where like there was nothing higher. And my dressmaker, Sandy Fritz at the time. Oh, is it Sandy Fritz? Yeah, I think so. Or Deanna. Yeah, well, Deanna was mixed in there.
Deanna Wright, Sandy Fritz, either way, both fantastic dressmakers at the time.
I know. But anyway, it was just like through a dressmaker. I think I might have been at Deanna's store, and someone came in and mentioned Gold Ice, and it was nearby, and it was a competitive program, and that they were having tryouts like that night or something. So I went at the time. I was age eligible for novice. So I was like, okay, I'll try out for novice. But I got there really early. And the junior skaters were on the ice, and like, oh, just, you know, come on out early if you'd like. And so I hopped on the ice with the junior skaters and I fit in. And so then I stayed for the novice tryout, and the coach was like, no, you don't belong here. You belong junior. And so that was kind of the beginning of skating competitive. It was with Gold Ice in Brampton. Then I went on to skate senior with their like affiliate team, which was Fusion at the time. And then I skated for Black Ice, and then I skated for Nexus Senior. So really, really lucky to have the opportunity to skate for a few different, very successful organizations in Ontario.
Not only great organizations, but great coaches all the way along the way. I mean, unbelievable coaching that you were exposed to.
You too. That's my dance coach.
Thank you so much. But let's talk a little bit about competitive experience. I mean, you know, if you're a skater who enjoys competition, and not all skaters do, what about that competitive aspect was something that was attractive to you?
I think it was the feeling of accomplishing new things and growing as an athlete. In singles, I loved it. I just didn't excel in it. And I found a lot of times like it was doing things with your teammates that really drove me. And I mean, yes, we get to compete, but it's really the day-to-day practice that you have to love in order to stick with the sport. So yeah, I think it was just the feeling of not being able to do something and then working really hard and overcoming the challenge to be able to do it. That's something that kept me in the sport, and that's what made me fall in love with it. Plus, of course, the competing part. That's always so
fun. Well, and you have certainly won your fair share of medals. So I have a certain amount of medal envy, I'll be honest. But can you give me an example of a great competitive experience? It doesn't have to be necessarily medal related, but something that really taught you a valuable lesson.
Oh my gosh. Like, how do I choose one? This is not fair.
It could be, okay, one of many, but just one that comes to mind. Let's put it that way.
One that comes to mind. I think it would be the first time that I qualified with my team for a senior world championship. I was very lucky growing up in synchro where I skated on really strong teams. And so we did really well. My first year junior, we won nationals. The next year we came third at junior worlds. And it was like, oh, you know, it was just the success you were kind of used to. And then I moved on to skating senior. And at the time, the team that I joined, they had been winning, you know, every national championship, lots of international medals. And so we trained really hard. We were a really good team. And we actually didn't qualify for Worlds that year because only two teams get to go. And we came third. And it actually took me 3 seasons of skating senior, which is a huge commitment at the senior level.
Yes.
But it took me 3 years of skating at the senior level for very good teams before we finally came top 2 in Canada and got to go to Worlds. And just that feeling of like, oh my goodness, we finally did it. It was just, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Do you think that, I always say this in skating, and I said this probably to you as a student too, that the failures sometimes teach you as much as the successes.
Yes.
What are the lessons that you learned in that, you know, persevering time of 3 years? What did that teach you?
Taught me a lot. Certainly, you know, just not giving up, because if you give up, you'll never accomplish your dreams and goals. It taught me to be open to trying new things and doing things in different ways. You know, I mean, the sport of synchro, it's always evolving. Figure skating as a whole is always evolving. And so if you kind of have a fixed mindset of like, this is how I do things and this is what's brought me success in the past, if the sport moves on, it'll move on without you. So just always being open as an athlete to corrections and learning how to do things better and differently. And I guess just, yeah, the open-mindedness of going at a problem at different directions in order to find success.
I think that it's very interesting to note that back in the day when it was still precision skating, it was deemed as a discipline within figure skating that was aimed at trying to keep people on the ice. Mm-hmm. There wasn't necessarily the drive to be the best that we could be as Canadians. It was just an exercise and trying to keep people on the ice. Some of the evolutions that I've seen over time is the sheer athleticism. I mean, it's gone from being just, you know, it's good enough to, holy smokes, look at that. We're looking at lifts. We're looking at synchronized spins. We're looking at footwork that is as good as any program that we see out there. I want to talk a little bit about the development of skills, because I also really want to talk about One Team Movement, which is the organization that you founded. And is a beacon for synchronized skating the world over. But I would like to talk about the evolution of skating skills. I mean, you went into the sport already a good skater. So what have you seen in terms of evolution in your time?
First of all, you're making me blush. All these compliments. Thank you. But
all truth.
I think with the sport, like you said, it used to be a recreational sport for the most part. I mean, there were competitive teams, but it was about having fun. And I think as the sport has tried to get more and I guess just closer and closer to Olympic inclusion, like athletes are more committed, coaches are more committed. Everyone just wants to elevate the sport as a whole. The coaches right now are pushing the sport in crazy new directions. You know, it's like, yes, they coach a few hours a week, but like, even when they're not at the rink, they're at home thinking of new ways to train their team, new things to invent for the sport. And they're just pushing the sport forward so much. And it's really, really cool to see. But I think as far as the evolution of the sport, it's just the intensity of the training, how serious the athletes and coaches have been taking it. It's not just for fun, although it is a lot of fun along the way. And there's been so much evolution from a skating skill standpoint, yes, developing higher skating skills across the board at all levels, but also like skating to different and more evolved music and themes. The dresses have evolved. The body movement on the ice has evolved. Like everything has just moved up and up and up. And I often think to when I started the sport in the 90s, and at that point, like, I mean, if you're a young person listening to this, you're probably like, oh, 90s, that was forever ago. But like at the time, you know, the sport had already been around for 40 years, yeah. You know, and there were already
1956 people since 1956.
So like the people that had already been in the sport, they had seen it evolve so much. So when I joined and I was skating with a lot of older skaters at the time, they're like, oh, Lisa, by the time you reach senior, you'll be at the Olympics. Like they had already seen how much the sport had grown.
Yeah.
And then I think where the sport was then and where it is now, it's like, holy, it's just grown again exponentially to a sport that is hardly recognizable from what it first was, but in a really cool and amazing way.
I think one of the things that's most interesting, and it's kind of a bit of a double-edged sword in a way, there used to be many more skaters on the ice for a team. Yeah. And now it's 12
and then 16.
Yeah, the 12. Yes, the 12 is a whole new thing. We'll talk about that in a second, but 16 skaters. Yeah. And it used to be almost double that. So the potential to do really interesting and intricate patterns on the ice you have a lot more possibility with a whack more skaters. So, but that is also means that the speed is diminished, that there are certain aspects of the creativity that are diminished. So I love the fact that with that few skaters, first of all, you can really see mm-hmm. what's happening. Now, the other thing is, the fewer the number of skaters, the greater the chances are of me as an observer and possibly the judges seeing any errors. Yes. When you have many more bodies, you can kind of bury the error. So I think that, again, getting those skaters with top level skills, you need that in order to be competitive. Is there a program that in which you participated that's one of your favorites? One of your favorites. See, Lisa, I'm giving you an out here. It doesn't have to be the favorite, but is there one that jumps to mind?
The first one that when you asked me that came to mind was on Fusion Senior. I think it was like 2007-08 maybe. And we skated to like a winter program, and the beginning of the program was just like, it was very abstract. For the beginning of the program, which was like different back then. But we started on the ice and it was like wintry sounds. And then I actually did like, I got launched in the air and caught. So it was just a really cool program and very innovative for the time.
Do you know what I also want to give a bit of a nod to is the judges, because they've had to remain open-minded and be able to that fast, be able to evaluate a skill or an element within a program to say, huh, where does that fall sort of on the list? So I think that their open-mindedness where programs are concerned, that has been something that has really helped to move the sport forward, I think.
And I don't think we give them enough credit. Like the amount of
training
and studying they have to do on a volunteer basis, like hats off to the officials, because like we know we wouldn't have a sport without them, but they are so on top of the rules and just do such a great job at competitions. And it's a hard job. It is a very hard job.
You have to have many more eyeballs than just two. I'll just say it that way. So I want to move forward to One Team Movement. So give me the moment where it started, and then we're going to talk about where it has moved to, but let's talk about where you started and why.
I think the biggest thing was just like, how do we get the sport to the Olympics? Like, what's it going to take? What can we do? How can we get it there? I had spent 21 years in the sport as an athlete. I did take 6 years off and then went back as a senior skater 6 years later, which is a whole other story. But, I saw how much the sport had changed and evolved and grown. And yet we're still with the same question we had 30 years ago of like, how do we get synchro into the Olympics? So it was kind of like, okay, let's band together as a synchro community, as a global community. Let's see what we can do to help push the sport forward. And that comes from working together, sharing resources, sharing tips and tools, and just like, hey, let's focus less on the competition and more about how we can help each other so that the sport as a whole can elevate. And that's kind of where it started.
So that's where it started. You're by yourself in your basement thinking about it. So what were the first steps that you did to try, because it is a global movement now, were the first steps that you took in order to try and link everybody together? Remember, we're talking about Ontario as well, and we're going to come back to the legacy of Ontario and Ontario teams within the sport of synchronized skating. But for you, little Lisa in the basement, how did you start making those connections?
I was very, very fortunate to have some really interesting consulting coaching gigs where I got to take my experience as a skater that grew up in Ontario and help teams around the world develop. It was in Australia, it was in the Netherlands, it was in France, in the US, in Canada. But it was as I started to travel with all these different teams, I got to talk to them about one team movement and ask them, you know, what are your challenges in the sport? And I found that didn't matter where I went, everyone had similar challenges of like, how do we grow the sport and how do we get more education around the rules? And so it was just kind of from, I guess, natural networking and talking to different coaches that it was like, okay, let's connect people. You know, I know someone that can help you with this, and I know an official that can help you here, and just kind of connecting people. And then we started doing our camps and having people from around the world come. Like the first ones that we did were, we did one in the US and one in Canada, but we had people from Australia and the UK and France that came to our camps. It kind of just took off organically.
So I want to ask you a little bit about countries that don't have the same, I'll call it skating vocabulary that we have here in Ontario. So I'm thinking about Australia. I mean, they've got some great skaters, have produced some really solid skaters, but whether or not synchronized skating has been sort of at the forefront of their figure skating ideas, how do you take your skating vocabulary, again, I'll call it, and help them learn it?
They were condensed camps that we did, but the focus was big time on skating skills. I think one thing that has definitely evolved a lot in Canada is the importance of skating skills. And we've seen that in the top countries, the skating skills have just flourished over the last few years. But in countries that have less ice time and less time to train, their focus is on synchro sometimes. So it can be like, okay, let's build the program. Let's focus on elements. But what I really learned skating on Nexus was like, if you build your base and if you have strong skating skills, then everything else comes a lot easier. All of a sudden, you're not struggling to do a block properly or a wheel or a circle. It's like, oh, we all just know how to skate well. So things come a lot faster. So just trying to work with the coaches and the skaters to change their mentality on like, let's focus on individual skating, which I know synchro, you think like you're attached all the time.
Yeah.
But let's focus on our individual skills so that when we come together, things just feel so much better. So that's a big thing that I worked on when I worked with different countries with different skating levels and synchro levels.
So a quick question for those people who do not really understand when we're talking about skating skills. Can you identify maybe three or four skating skills and what you're talking about?
So the first one I'll say is just like the knee and ankle rhythm. So understanding like the softness and the lull in the knee and ankle, not, you know, the rigid bend, straighten, bend, but just like that softness. Yep. The other one would be, you know, just blade awareness, having pressure on different parts of the blade, rocking forward, rocking back without hitting your toe picks. And just having that blade awareness can help you maintain speed on the ice. And then the other one would probably be like your upper body carriage as you're skating. So how is your upper body placed? How are you holding it? Are you leaning one way? Are your shoulders level, your hips level? How's your core rotation? And so I think those are the, you said three, right? Or did you say three or four?
Yeah, three. And then I've got a question about another one again for our non-skating people. Yeah. So where do things like speed, depth of edge, where turns, how important are they in those three things that you just spoke of?
It's everything. Okay. It's everything. You develop speed, but I think a lot of times speed isn't the first thing that you should think about. So right. if you are aware of your knee and ankle rhythm and have good control of that movement, if you're on the right part of your blade and if you're holding your body the right way, then you can get speed. But if you think you just like go speed first, then it's like you won't be able to maintain or generate as much speed. And then same with like depth of edge, turns, that all comes from those basic core three, I'd say.
You know what? That's great. And here's the other little trick I'd love to hear about. And that is, figure skating is an individual sport for the most part. Mm-hmm. How do you take all of those individuals and turn them into a team?
Practice. Lots of practice. The skaters themselves, there's certain skaters that make good synchro skaters. Generally, they're the ones that are more open-minded to corrections and criticisms and changing their own personal skating style to match the team, because there is a style that each team has. The coach is generally the one that will determine that style and ensure that it matches across the team. So, you know, you might be someone that has beautiful high extensions, but your team doesn't have that same height. So you have to kind of match them. It's just ice time together. And as you train with other skaters, yes, you have eyes looking forward, but your peripherals are always watching your teammates, trying to match what they're doing, their speed, their free leg placement, their body positioning. And so it's really just, I think anyone can become a synchro skater if they want to. That's my own personal opinion. Some coaches would say otherwise, but I do believe that anyone can become a synchro skater if they're open-minded to it and they want to try.
Here's the thing. As a former coach with a whole lot of years of experience, I think anybody can become a synchro skater, just like anybody can become an anything. Mm-hmm. But becoming a good synchro skater, a talented synchro skater, there are certain things that cannot be taught, is my opinion. But you're now a coach. What do you think?
I agree.
All right.
There's personalities that jive better with free skate and that jive better with synchro. Like if I like to be the center of attention and I love the spotlight on me, which I don't, but if I did, I'd be a really great, free skater. If you ever talked to Caitlin Osmond, she absolutely loved the spotlight when she performed, and you could tell she was an amazing performer. For me, I didn't love that part. So I wouldn't have been a good single skater, but with synchro, I'm like, I get to just like be with my teammate and feel power through the lines, and we get to perform as a collective whole. And so I guess that's what made me a good synchro skater.
Yes, absolutely. And it's no mistake that you ended up with spots on so many really strong teams, as you mentioned, Fusion, Black Ice, Nexus, all kind of, and Gold Ice before it. So congratulations on all of that. I want to talk for a moment about, because I think it's important for young people, talking about the role of social media. So you've got One Team Movement and you're very, very active on social media. Do young people need to really worry about what they're doing, like how they're being perceived on social media? Is it kind of a, if I'll use the expression, safe space? How do you use social media, and what do you think has happened as social media has taken on more of a role in skating in general?
I think it can be a tricky space to navigate, especially for young people. For young people, I definitely err on the side of like less is more. I think there's a danger of oversharing for a number of reasons, but primarily I think when you're sharing from a personal place, you don't know who is seeing it, even if it is a friend, or you have a privacy settings that only people you know are on there. If it's not something that you would openly do in public in front of everyone in the world, you probably shouldn't put it on your social media. And then there's also the sense of like permanence, where if you put something on social media, like it's out there and you don't know who might be screen recording something or taking pictures of something, and then it's out there forever. So I think the less is more is really important, especially when you're younger, because you're just not aware of like all of the different nuances of society. With One Team Movement, we do try to post regularly, but it comes from like a place of, okay, this is our brand voice. This is the kind of content we put out. It's always, positive, encouraging, uplifting, entertaining, but we've kind of worked those out so that things can't be misconstrued or taken the wrong way in this world of social media. And a lot of the top teams, for synchronized skating, they do the same thing. They have their values and kind of what sort of things they want to trickle through their social media, and they're very selective and careful with what they will put out into the world, and less is more.
Well, and you know what I really appreciate about your social media posting is that it's authentic. So, and it's It's not like it's all glossed over, filtered, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, which I think can be something that is dangerous for young people who can't discriminate between, you know, something that's authentic and something that's been sort of manipulated. So congratulations on that. Do you think when you're thinking about One Team Movement, you mentioned values. What are your top three values?
Sportsmanship, collaboration, and probably like resilience.
Okay. Okay.
It's been a while since I've looked at our like web of values, but there's quite a few.
It's inherent. So, and I want to find out from you, what are the top three lessons that synchronized skating taught you when you were a skater?
Well, we talked about the open-mindedness.
Yes.
For sure. That's a big one.
That got taught to you? That got taught to you though through synchronized skating? I would have thought you were open-minded anyway. So what lesson did you learn that wasn't there?
Well, like if I was like not open-minded, I would have just skated for Fusion my whole life. And as anyone knows, like Fusion isn't around anymore because like teams come and go, but I skated for Fusion for 3 seasons. And then it was becoming apparent that the team wasn't going to make it to a world championship. And I talked to my coach. I said, like, I love you. I love this team, but I can maybe afford one more season. I really want to go to Worlds. Like, what should I do? And I tried out for Nexus Senior and Black Eye Senior. And she said, you know, you have my blessing. And so then I moved on to skate for Black Eye Senior, which was so hard for me to do at the time because my sisters, my family was with my team. And then to move to a competing organization was like something that no one really did back then.
Yeah.
And so it was really hard, but I had to do it because if I didn't, I never would have gone to a world championship. And then I had to skate for that team for 2 years before we got to go to Worlds. So I think just like not being set in your path and in your journey, you know, maybe you have to take an extra year of school to finish your degree. Maybe you have to take time off skating and go back to it when you're ready, but, you know, follow your heart and your dreams and, you know, stick to what you want, but be creative in kind of how you get there. So I think that's what synchro.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What do you hope? Okay, let's look 5 years down the road. What are we looking at 5 years down the road? It's my last question, Lisa. Don't worry. It's no more tricky ones after this. Crystal ball time.
For synchro or for One Team Movement?
Both.
For synchro, we better be in the Olympics, like enough.
Okay.
It is time. It is time.
It is time.
We are ready. But in an ideal world, I want to see synchro in the Olympics. I don't even care if it's summer or winter. Just get it in. TJ, you know, you're a commentator at the Olympics. You can make this happen, right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that.
Plant some seeds. And then for One Team Movement, I mean, we had branched our network so far before COVID. We had done a camp in Australia with the ISU Development Commission support. We were planning a camp in the Netherlands. And then, you know, the pandemic happened and we had to kind of reel things in. And we haven't really, I mean, we've been able to do camps in Ontario, across Canada, in the United States as well. But I want to see us be able to do more camps internationally where they're needed. You know, I just want our organization to be able to help more teams, more countries. Obviously, synchro in Ontario and in Canada is booming. It's flourishing. Our teams are so strong. But what I always come back to is like, if Canada is really good in synchro, but the rest of the world isn't, then it's not going to be in the Olympics. So let's use our resources. Let's share. Let's be open-minded to helping elevate the sport as a whole. So I'm hopeful that in the next 5 years, we have new initiatives and projects that can help the sport globally using the expertise of our Canadian kind of community and Finnish as well. Like we have some contacts we work closely with in Finland, but just like, let's pool our resources. Let's help the sport grow and develop. That's the dream.
I lied. This is my last question. What exactly happens at your camps? What when you talk about camps, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So it's not like we're not tenting in the woods. There's no bonfires.
Good.
if you came, PJ, there might be, but no,
let's
it's
not do that.
No,
you could do s'mores dance. Though. S'mores. I'll be in for s'mores, but anyway, go ahead.
S'mores and puppies on the beach, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's basically like an intensive training seminar opportunity. We have, we always bring in like an international coach that can bring a unique perspective from somewhere else in the world. This year, all of our camps have been headlined by top Finnish coaches, which has been really interesting. But we bring in an outside coach. We have other coaches teaching skills like ice dance and pairs and theater and improv. So we have on-ice classes, we have off-ice classes that focus on, you know, flexibility, again, theater, improv, performance, off-ice skating,
strength.
All those fun things. Strength too, yep. We try not to do too much strength because there's so much skating in the weekend that by the end of it, the skaters are like destroyed.
Yeah.
In a good way. but we did do a really interesting, my background is in exercise physiology. So we had a session at our last camp, which was teaching like technique for exercises and just like how to improve your hip mobility and your shoulder mobility for Bielmans and your core strength. So we do layer in educational pieces. Sometimes we have officials that come and explain the rules, but it's really just like an intensive weekend of training synchro with teams and skaters from around the country, around the world. You know, it's not just skating with your teammates, but meeting people that you normally would compete against, but then becoming friends with them at the camp, realizing like, hey, you love synchro, I love synchro. We can actually be friends. Like, we don't have to just compete against each other. We've seen some like best friends develop through camp, which is amazing. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of just like building up the sportsmanship. And at the end of the day, like we have, I think the upcoming camp, we have 15 senior skaters from Team Canada and Team USA. So they're like our camp leaders. They skate with the skaters. They demonstrate drills. We also have some junior on-ice assistants that help out as well. So like the grassroots, like, you know, beginner level, like little Lisa gets to skate with those senior skaters and really dream and believe in their dreams. And that's a big thing at camp is like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is. If you want to skate at the top level, you can do it. Let's get you there. You know?
You know what, Lisa, I've got to tell you, I know you got to go. I mean, you got two little kids. I'm sure they're in the background here. I just want to say how proud I am to know you and to see your evolution from little Lisa to grown-up Lisa now and to what you're doing for Synchro. And the fact that we can call you our own here in Ontario is something that we just completely treasure. Lisa Carrier, thank you so much for talking to me. If you want to get a hold of Lisa, you can go to One Teen Movement, and movement is spelled mvmt@gmail.com. So oneteammvmt@gmail.com, or look for One Team Movement on Instagram and on Facebook. And with that, we're going to go. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, PJ. You're awesome.
You are too. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast. Don't forget to follow us on social media. I'm at Skating PJ. Until next time, bye for now.